Welcome to The Last American Vagabond. Thank you for joining me today. I have a guest joining me who is a previous member of the mainstream media who's been doing some fantastic work around a lot of different things that has had me on her show a couple times. And I thought it would be a really interesting discussion to have her on to talk about a bunch of different things around that interesting contrast about what she sees now being on the other side of this versus what's happening there and what she feels about what they may be doing and potential inside information she might want to talk about or things she knows. I mean, who knows? It's interesting to see that change and how much the perception changes once you're standing outside of that inner circle. It's very interesting, in my opinion. Or maybe she'll tell me I'm completely wrong. So it'll be a fun discussion to have. And then we can also get into a lot of COVID discussion or anything else we feel we want to get into. And since this is Rockfin, I will be keeping an eye on the chat. I'll try to keep an eye on the chat and maybe address some of your questions you might have. So thank you for joining me today, Allison Morrow. How are you today?
Hey, I'm excited to be here. That's the first time I've actually seen your visual open, because I normally just listen to your podcast, and that's fancy, man. That's mainstream quality right there.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, this I'm excited to talk to you just in general, because, you know, I've watched some of you, even just our interview discussions, but some of your coverage, which is, again, you're doing a great job talking about things that I don't think anybody in the mainstream are even, you know, daring to poke at for the most part. And you know, noticing that you yourself have pointed out a lot of these interesting contrasts. You know, you've talked about things that they're not covering the way they should, or things that you noticed while you were there that you started to recognize. And so, first of all, why don't we start with, for those that don't know you, who, you know, who you are, what your background is, and why you decided to leave mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. So I'm Allison Morrow, as you said. I was a TV news reporter for 12 years, and started out my career as a segment producer, actually, for Fox and Friends morning show on Fox News Channel when I was 22 and had no clue what I was doing or what was going on in journalism. You know, it's funny because on one hand, my saving grace has been that I was never a groupie. So I didn't know what I didn't know, I guess, in that sense. I didn't study journalism. I was a history and French double major, and I actually went to grad school for theology and psychology. So I was never somebody who was, like, I guess some would say, indoctrinated into the way of mainstream news. On one hand, that led me into learning the hard way, if you will, because I really just didn't know how the system worked. I'd never been handed a manufacturing consent before. So I get into the business and I'm like, I'm not sure this is for me. So that's why I actually left Fox and went to grad school. And I thought I was going to be a psychotherapist, but I didn't like that as much anymore after I sort of dabbled in that world. So I thought, well, I don't know, maybe I'll go back as a reporter and see if I like being the person who's actually presenting the story instead of writing something and handing it over to anchors that end up, you know, kind of fudging it up. And I did. And that's essentially what I've done for the last 12 years. I started in Macon, Georgia. I worked in Knoxville, Tennessee, then Tampa, Florida, and most recently Seattle, Washington. I was one of, if not the only, full-time environmental reporters for a TV station in the entire country. And I covered the environment basically every day for 5 years. And I really loved that job. But towards the end of it, I kind of got to that point where I was both having a professional and personal crisis of conscience. I think my husband and I got really interested in wanting to leave the city, not just to do better by our natural resources that I had learned I could do better, I think, than in a city infrastructure, growing food and you know, buying from our neighbors and that kind of thing, and sort of a local economy. But also professionally, I was having a hard time justifying the product that I was putting out there, knowing full well that I didn't have the time or the resources to do my diligence to make sure that I really knew what I was talking about. So I finally decided, you know, if I'm not going to be able to reformat the way I'm living and the way I'm working, which I offered my bosses the opportunity to work with me on, and they thought I was crazy, I just decided to quit. And yeah. I did.
And good for you for doing so. I mean, that takes integrity to recognize that it's, you know, most people would recognize, you know, see the what's the right word for it? The career ahead of that. And, you know, see the financial side of that and just decide, well, I'll just, you know, make it. And, you know, I will actually argue that it's not wrong to say that there's somebody who thinks they can change it from within, you know, but I tend to don't think that ultimately works out. But let me ask you a couple questions about from the beginning. So when you first entered into this, was there any level of, you know, kind of a talking to that you noticed in the beginning that kind of like set your marching order to, this is a certain way things are done? Or was it just like, here, you know, research things and give us what you find? You know, was there any kind of like dictation on how it should go?
Right. Well, news was a little bit different when I first got into it. It's changed dramatically, I think, not just from a technical standpoint because of what happened with the recession and how newsrooms reformatted what they were doing. Add to that the internet, social media platforms, and the responsibilities to constantly be on social media, 24-hour news cycles, all that stuff has changed, I think, in the last 10 years. I also think the last 4 years politically or 5 years politically has accelerated some of those changes and the partisanship in news. When I first got in it, though, and I think even still, what I've found to be more problematic than what you're describing is actually just kind of this undiscussed ethos of the moral way of thinking about things. And you know, just as an aside, kind of as an anecdote, I was going back and forth with a friend of mine who's in the business about the COVID vaccines. And because she said jokingly that she would not date anyone who got the vaccine. And I don't really care who she dates. And I'm not shocked that she's single in her later years, because she does have some random and a little bit, I think, not thought through guidelines for who she chooses as an amorous partner. But that's her deal. I don't care. But what I do care about is that I believe her snobby kind of condescending way of looking at that choice is likely bleeding into her journalism. So normally I would have let something like that go, but this time I decided to push back. And really what it came down to was she said, well, I'm just trying to do my part. And I said, well, I think it's pretty clear that if you want to do it for yourself, fine. But forcing other people to do their part when the science shows that, you know, you can still transmit it, does not really make a whole lot of sense, right?
Right.
And she's like, we just have to do agree to disagree on this one. And I think I tell that story because I think that's probably the average way a lot of mainstream journalists are thinking about COVID, for instance, but a lot of controversial topics. They have a lack of knowledge, and that's their fault. They should be seeking more knowledge. It's their job. I offered her resources, including your channel, to get more information. So I'm doing my part to say, hey, it's out there. And you would hope that somebody who would want to know what else is there as a journalist would seek that out. But they think, for whatever reason, somehow they justify in their head, it's not important, it's conspiracy, it's too fringe, it's whatever else. If it's not in the New York Times, it didn't really happen. I'm not quite sure. And then on top of their ignorance, they have a real moral superiority and arrogance about what they don't know. And I think that's what bothers me the most about my peers, is that we all don't know something, right? It's fair that we've all been on some kind of journey to get to where we are. And even now, we don't know everything. So it would be, I think, intellectually dishonest to look at someone and say, you know, I hate you because you don't know these things. But what I don't like is that they have such arrogance about that ignorance. And then when you offer them the information, they don't want to seek it out. That to me is the gravest problem. And so instead of this like overt doctrination that you referenced earlier, I think that is a greater problem.
Mm-hmm. I would actually completely agree with that. And it's funny that it's very clear that from their perspective, like you said, it's this moral high ground that they're perceived that they have, and that they're refusing to look at new information because whether it's just perceived as a bad, you know, if conspiracy theory, despite us citing scientific documentation, but they would then refuse to look at that information because they know that they're correct. And then likewise refuse to look at, you know, it's a closed-minded perspective. And that is not what a journalist or a researcher should ever be doing. Mm-hmm. Even if you know that this is a place that's putting out false information, to do your due diligence is to entertain that for a moment, to understand where they're coming from. And that's not happening. Before you comment right there, one thing I wanted to note on what you said, I absolutely agree. The 24-hour news cycle changed everything. The moment they felt that they had to keep you hooked and keep things humming, that's when they started using fear and manipulation more so to keep it going versus the daily, nightly news as a public service. Go ahead. What were you going to comment on?
Well, you know, just on that point, I'm writing down so I don't forget. On that point, you know, it's cheap. It's cheap, low-hanging fruit to just get a couple of people together and have them argue on television. So with the staffing level and what you want to pay people out of college or whatever, whoever else you're getting there, you just book a few people and they just took up 30 minutes of your show and you didn't really have to do any research. You think about the amount of research you have to do for your hour-long or two-hour-long show. Right. It takes a lot of time. And news stations are just like...
All day.
They're just factory farms of information, and they're just pumping things through as cheap and as fast as they can. So the fastest way to do that is just get a bunch of people who can just argue for hours on end. Back to your other point, though, specifically about, you know, not asking those questions and not seeking that out and that not being consistent with journalism. When I was talking with this particular friend that I mentioned earlier, and I said that, you know, just trusting authority is not journalism. And she came back and she's like, well, we've been asking a lot of our local experts. We're getting all kinds of different views. In their safe circle, they're getting different views.
Right.
Okay. So there's a safe circle in which you can talk about different ideas, but outside of that,
that's the point too. They're not different. They're getting
exactly. So in their mind, they even have figured out a way to justify that they are asking questions and then they are putting a variety of voices, but they're not really. Not if you think about even politics, like there are safe right and left talking points that they'll put out there, but they rarely will fudge it up where it's like, oh, that person thinks, you know, say that person's pro Second Amendment, but anti-war. Like you don't hear from those people very often. Somebody who doesn't, you know, fit necessarily the right or the left category, because they have these little safe space ideologies in which you can debate. But outside of that, they have all kinds of different ways to describe it. You would
pretend like we don't exist, right? They pretend anybody who doesn't fit perfectly into left or right is just simply not real or a conspiracy theorist, whatever that ultimately amounts to. And you're right. And then, like to your point, they seek out people that will fit that, right? They will never find somebody, no matter how well regarded and how their credentials are, that will come on and argue that the vaccine is not helping people or that it's hurting people. They won't give you that counterbalance, regardless of how clearly there's a massive pushback from even experts. You know, that just shows you a conscious choice to not discuss a huge part of that, you know, that narrative. You know, that is the largest issue for me, is that it's a choice. And they pretend like it's not, like they've just decided this whole portion of the country is not allowed to be involved in their little, that, you know, that's how it is. It's this elitist mindset that they are part of a club that we're not allowed to be in, you know, and it's frustrating because people that are just average people see that, you know, and then they're forced to make another choice. And it's all about division in my mind. So let me ask you another question in regard to how you jump forward to where you were on the cusp of going, okay, wait a minute here. Right. There's something I'm not, you know, and you had told me before when we talked that you, let's say, brought a story and it was like, oh, no, like, you know, that can't happen for this reason. And you weren't okay with that. So can you walk me through where it was that you started to realize that there was like a level of dishonesty, or maybe you can frame it a different way and then go into why you left?
Well, actually, interestingly enough, one of the most glaring examples of that was over vaccinations. I remember a time I was in our little cafe, and this is probably a year before I quit, where I saw that we were in flu season again. And typically what we did was we would have, like, you know, your typical sort of mainline health department doctor come on, and they would say, go get your flu shot, go get your flu shot. And I looked at my manager and said, why do we always just tell people to get their flu shot? Why don't we ever say to people, what about your diet or vitamin D or getting enough rest and sunlight and, you know, other things? And he literally cursed at me and told me, because I specifically said, listen, I don't get the flu shot and I've never gotten the flu. And he yelled at me and said I was putting his life in danger, and that I was never, you know, that basically stop questioning. Like the ultimate message there was like, whatever you're saying right now, I can't believe it's lunacy coming out of your mouth. And he used a couple cuss words, which I probably could have gone to HR about, but I was not that, I just didn't. So I was like, okay, well, now I see what happens when you even just question the flu shot. Okay. The flu shot. So, you know, maybe a month or two later, we're having this, you know, measles outbreak, I guess, in Washington, that's what they were calling it. And so we're covering this, right. And it gets covered as like, I'm a mom. And it's always this way, like I'm a mom and it's my right. Well, I'm a mom and it's my right, you know, and they're just these moms, they're dueling moms, you know, well, I should be able to not vaccinate. Well, your kid's putting my kid at risk. And it's just these women yelling at each other, right? It's usually that. So there was a conference of doctors that were coming to town, And they were coming specifically not just to educate people about, you know, natural health alternatives. And a lot of these doctors are MDs. They're not just like fringe, you know, just like out there. And I studied sand or something for 10 years. These are like conventionally trained medical doctors who are talking about the risk of vaccination and, you know, and other health issues. And I thought, hey, if we're going to be covering this debate over whether the state should force your kid to be vaccinated to go to school, then shouldn't we talk to other medical professionals and let the medical professionals have a fair debate about it instead of just, you know, the parents who are screaming at each other at these protests? And that was when I was told you're never allowed to pitch a story about vaccines ever again, because I trust you on everything else, but I don't trust you on this one topic. And I was like, wow, I'm not even allowed to pitch a story. Like, to me, in my mind, it was, okay, we're covering this. It's not even like I'm thinking like, hey, why don't we cover vaccine? It was like, we are covering the issue of vaccines in Washington State and the state making the decision that you should not have, I think it was, I can't remember if it was the health or the personal, you know, the philosophical reason opt out to not vaccinate your kids. We're covering this. So, you know, why not go find out why some of these parents are concerned and actually talk to doctors who are bringing up some fair points about what's going on? Talk to the medical professionals. You have the other ones coming on all the time saying, get your flu vaccine. Why not talk to the other people? I thought that was just like a responsible way. If you're going to cover it, don't just cover people yelling at each other at protests, cover the medical professionals who are talking about this stuff. Right. And when I was told that I wasn't even allowed to pitch, not even cover, but pitch, like, I'm not even allowed to give you the idea that these people are here. That was when I was like, okay. And you know what's funny? Soon after that, they were handing out shirts because had this Stand for Truth campaign that my station was running. And the shirts were like Truth Seeker. That's what it said on the front, Truth Seeker. And I remember sending my dad a picture of it. And I was like, except on vaccines or a couple other things. Like, that's what I wanted to write on the back of it, you know? Right. And so that was the beginning of the end, really. Because then it had gotten to the point where it wasn't just that I didn't have the time and I didn't have the resources, which are all things that, you know, those stink, but they're not like, I'm not, you know, it's not an intentional propaganda campaign. It's not an excuse. You should have the time. You should have the resources. All those things do matter. If you're just putting stuff out there that's incomplete because you don't have the time, it's not an excuse. It's just to say it's not as intentional as a lot of people think. And I still think that all that stuff is really a problem. But when I started, it started really unraveling for me. It was okay, this is an intentional blocking of information for people to continue and pushing a narrative that we think is morally superior or righteous. And I just had a lot of problems with that.
Yeah. I mean, rightly so. I mean, there's no way to misunderstand that. He or whoever's making the decision has an opinion.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going with. So they want the doctors who have that opinion to be the ones speaking. That's not journalism. That's propaganda. Even if you agree with it, even if what they're saying is correct, it's propaganda. That is a state-minded, this is the narrative, get the doctors who will agree with that. You know, this is what's the, I've said this a few times in the last couple of days, and it seems increasingly relevant from 1984, is that, you know, journalism is reporting what people don't want said out loud, I think, as maybe paraphrasing. Everything else is public relations. Right. So when they're only parroting what the mainstream government narrative is and not giving any counterbalance, that's propaganda, even if correct. Right. So it gives me hope that there are people like yourself that are, you know, there that are just, that are opening their eyes to this and going, wait a minute, like, this isn't right. And, you know, anybody given that moment, recognizing that they're choosing to ignore half of the story, should leave if they have integrity, right? Because you're not actually reporting the truth anymore. You're reporting a narrative, you know?
Yeah.
So after you left, what was their reaction there? Did they just kind of say good riddance? They did not care? Or, you know, what was the follow-up there?
It's funny because they were like, I would just go if I were you. That's basically what they said. They said right. to me.
You're out of here. She knows truth. You're out of here.
They're like, just go, you know? So I was like, okay. You know, it's funny. I got an email from one of my, not the person I was just referencing, but the guy who actually took over for him, and which was basically a month or two before I left. And I kind of felt a little bit bad for that guy because he was left with my final decision where he was like, who is this person? I don't know what happened to her. You know, he's just stuck with this disgruntled employee. And had to bring him up to speed quickly, but I got an email from him, kind of a cryptic email from him, which I never got a response to a few months ago. And I'm thinking, cause he was just asking for like, another email address. And, I'm like, what does he want? And I'm thinking, okay, it's a couple options. Like, stop talking crap about us on YouTube. Stop telling our secrets, you know, or can you hire me? You know, one of those three things. So like, are you hiring or just shut up? And I still don't know what he was after, but I do wonder, cause I think I'm kind of flying under the radar still, because a lot of my peers are not really into new media. So they just watch and read each other. And I don't think they know what I'm doing. So I think someday they're going to figure it out. And then I'm going to be in a lot of, I don't want to say trouble, but I'm going to have a lot more arrows pointing at me. Right now, I think I have a lot of people who just despise mainstream news and they like to hear the inside scoop on it. And so they follow me. So it's kind of preaching to the choir in a lot of ways. But at some point, I'm sure my peers are going to pick up on me. And then that'll be an interesting moment.
Right. Well, or maybe never, because the point is they don't do their due diligence in regard to this part of the media. And that's point.
True.
But in any case, somebody I'm sure will end up shoving it their way and they'll see it, you know, and it's just interesting to me. But at the end of the day, I think what the new, you know, the direction here, at least what I'm trying to drive with my audience and everything, is that it doesn't matter. Like, if you, I don't care if it's a mainstream person or it's somebody who was in there or somebody who's never been in there, you should give them the same time. You should entertain what they're saying. Like, it's, well, as the quote goes, it's the true sign of intelligence to be able to entertain the thought without fully accepting it. Right. So you've clearly demonstrated yourself thus far to be driving at the truth and what you believe that to be objectively. Now, that doesn't mean the point is, question everything. I say that about myself too. Don't just blindly trust what I'm saying because I've demonstrated thus far that I'm doing a good job, right? It's about constant. And I believe so far you've very clearly laid that, you know, shown that you're willing to ask the hard questions, and that's all that people can ask for, you know? Yeah. So have you gotten any negativity other than that discussion with your friend from people in that fear, or are they just completely, you're off the radar to them right now?
Well, actually, on the flip side, I've gotten some positive reaction from not people I used to work with, but I have had news directors and producers and reporters. I even have people who are currently employed in some of the major networks who send me information about what's going on behind the scenes. Good. And are starting to get on board with speaking up and speaking out. And so it's interesting to see. I do have people who are part of that world who had very similar concerns and still do. On the negativity side of it, I haven't heard specifically from the people, you know, the ones that I would be the most concerned would say, you know, Allison's gone off the deep end. She's really lost her rocker. And I think when I talk to them about the stuff I am doing, or sometimes I will send my videos to, I don't know if they even watch them, but they'll just kind of laugh it off and say, we'll have to agree to disagree. That's what they always, oh, we'll agree to disagree. I'm like, okay, we'll just agree. That's usually what they say. We just want to keep it nice and friendly and just kind of just tell Allison something so that she'll just go away. nothing super negative yet.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm sure eventually from any way, walk of life, if you're talking about things people don't want discussed, which again is actual journalism, you will get negativity. So I'm sure it'll come your way at some point. Yeah. Now bringing this over then into the current discussion where we are with COVID-19 and everything else, you know, the thought that kind of made sense right there for segue to me is that I've seen this a lot, and we've seen this admitted a lot, that for instance, we have doctors who've admitted on the record that they have had conversations with even people that are like on the mainstream channels and had discussions with them about the reality. And they behind the scenes agree that, yeah, you know, we know that's not actually accurate, but we can't say that because it'll scare people or because they won't get their vaccines. And that's being openly admitted in circles behind the scenes. And this is exactly what we're kind of talking about, right? So the COVID discussion now bringing that forward is that we have a lot of information that is clearly, tied to source material that they tell us we should be listening to, the British Medical Journal, Oxford, The Lancet, you know, CDC, NHHS, right? So what is your biggest, like, when you first started this and you first diving into the COVID-19 discussion, what was in your mind the first thing that you kind of stumbled into that you were like, wow, like, you know, that's nothing like we were hearing over here a moment ago, and you know, that opened your eyes to a little bit of the illusion going on, if that's how you see it?
Well, keep in mind, so I left, just fortuitously, I quit about 6 months before COVID was a thing, and we left the city and I left my job, and I felt like I escape the pits of hell, seriously, by the skin of my teeth. So I wasn't working in that environment when this hit, but I've, of course I see what is being pushed. And I honestly, Ryan, I don't really know how to make sense of why people are able to do these mental gymnastics that then end up becoming the mainstream news. I wish I could figure it out, because I would write a really big book about it and maybe be able to retire early. Is it a spiritual thing, literally, where people just can't see? They just can't see past their nose? Or is it they want to believe so wholly in a particular viewpoint? They're scared. It's an in-group bias thing. Like, I don't know what is going on, where you actually have legitimate information in their own world. It's not just like you on The Last American Vagabond. It's like you said, it's the CDC or it's other places. The numbers are there. I did a whole live stream on my channel about the unknowns that the FDA reports show right there for anybody to read. And I just can't really figure it out. I have theories, but ultimately what I know to be true is many of them are just not reading this material. They just aren't reading it. And they're all recycling the same talking points from their same, whether it's you're at a local station and you're just recycling what NBC is saying because you're at an NBC affiliate, or if you're a producer, you're just taking in what the AP or Reuters says and you're just copying and pasting and putting in a prompter, or maybe you are at one of the networks and you're one of those high-level, high-paid anchors, in which case you're probably running in circles with politicians who do have a particular agenda and you're working on it with them. I try to help people understand that I think there's a level of awareness about that propaganda that I'm not sure the vast majority even really gets, because I think they're victims of the propaganda. Mm-hmm. And so they're like brainwashed. I call them stormtroopers now. They're just all like genetic remodifications of each other. And they just think the exact same things. Sure. And they just recycle the same points. And then, yes, I believe there's like the higher you get up, the more aware of this that you know. Now, that's still to say, I still think a lot of people at the top think that they're somehow justified. I mean, I even think people like Bill Gates probably really believes that like whatever he's doing somehow is for the betterment of humanity, even if there are lots of people who disagree with his tactics. I don't know how many people actually go to bed at night saying, oh, you know, I'm so sinister. I've really pulled the wool over people's eyes. I'm evil. I think even the most evil people, or the people that are doing the most evil, I think somehow they figured out a way to justify in their head. I don't know what that is. I really don't know what that is. But yeah. But if you trickle that down to like the average low-level mainstream journalist, I feel like they're victims of the propaganda that they're spewing out of their mouth. And like I said, I've even said that to a couple of my peers, like this is one of, if not the biggest propaganda campaigns since the Patriot Act, since 9/11. And you should be more wary of how this is affecting, surveillance, public health policy, lockdowns, all this stuff. It's like, they just don't care. They just think this is okay.
Right. Their job is supposed to be to hold, speak truth to power. Right. But that's not what I think the actual mandate is from mainstream media anymore. But what's interesting is you touch on the idea of the propaganda multiplier. Right. I mean, have you heard that phrase before? So as you could probably speak to, the vast majority of news comes from Associated Press, Reuters, and French Press Agency. I believe there's two more smaller ones within this grouping, but that's where the feed of information comes from. Now, yes, there's independent, there's someone like yourself that may be following up on a story, but by and large, the main flow is coming from these groupings. So you can argue that the vast majority of news is basically just being trickled down from central points. And I find that, and then you see them, like you'll find a lot of these just day-to-day posts on the online groups, you'll just be site AP and those repost exactly what they're sent. Now, do you think that there's any due diligence happening right there? When AP sends some story, do they then re-research that information, or do they
never. I don't want to say never, but I would say 98.9% of the time, they are not re-researching anything that comes from those wire services. No. Right.
Which is what I found as well. And that's not even the point is that's, it, by the way, and this is what I tell average people out there, and this is why half the time I can be discussing things on Twitter on my show before the mainstream media is even pointing it out, right? Like I made this joke yesterday for people that were trying to follow the Floyd ruling. And I was telling, like, I was talking to people who were like glued to the Fox and CNN channels. And I'm like, it already, I got the ruling right here. You know, it's because I have the breakdown coming directly from where they're getting their information. And so the point is that as the average person, you don't need these mainstream flows. Mm-hmm. What you're getting is their spin on that information, even more so than AP and the rest of them, because they put their spin too. So what I argue is the average person, if you want to be updated, at least on what that narrative is, because we don't trust AP either, is that you simply tap into that. Go right to the source material, you know, which is what they keep pretending that we should be doing. Mm-hmm. Do you have thoughts on that? I wanted to show you one thing, unless you had a comment on that.
Just that I think that's a really good idea, because then you can see the beginning and then you can see the telephone game as it's unraveling, and it will make you a much better consumer of news, because you'll be like, oh, I see how that happened. I see how that ended up in this place. And then by the time it got to me, it looks like this, whereas the same information went down this pipe. And then by the time it got to me, it looked like this. So I think that's a really good idea.
That's an excellent point too, because you can see, you'll watch, because it goes both ways, right? Left and right in the two-party illusion. So you see the deviation, and oh, weird, Fox omitted that part.
Right.
Interesting, right? Or CNN added this part. You know, it's interesting how you can see them do that. And you're absolutely right. Now, this speaks to that exact point. Here is, you might have seen this article. Let me grab the screen real quick. You may have seen this New York Times article, right? Here's the headline. So if you haven't, I'll tell you what it's about. Mm-hmm. COVID's partisan errors. Now this is recent. This is as of March 18th. Now what they're showing, by the way, I find it really telling that this is March and it wasn't even, nobody even talked about, I didn't even see this until Bill Maher talked about it like a week ago. It shows you the mainstream media is ignoring even their own source theory, like New York Times, when they come out and say what this says. Now,
here's quick point.
Oh, go ahead.
I talked about this phenomenon on my channel, I want to say in October, because I interviewed an economist, strategist guy, whatever, somebody who does a lot of polling, and their research found that, he's out of like MIT and Baylor, that the number one predictor for how you feel about COVID is your political affiliation. And I remember talking about that months and months ago. And I always kind of wondered, see, I think people like him, because he also was somebody who ahead of the election was like, I think he wrote an article that The Hill ran called "Don't Believe the Polls, Trump is Winning." And I think anytime somebody puts their name on Trump in any way that's not like, this guy's going to take over the world and he's the world's greatest evil, they get blacklisted by the mainstream news, unless you're, you know, maybe Fox News Channel, I guess, in which case you'd go with that guy. And I kind of wonder, like, why isn't this guy's research getting more traction? And then I thought, well, maybe it's because he was somebody who was going against the grain pre-election on the Trump-Biden phenomenon. Mm-hmm. As I never know why, because like you've seen, you could be Michael Yeadon is a great example. I, after listening to his interview with one of your journalists, you know, I'm going about and researching him, and the first article that Google shows me is how he's now the king of the anti-vaxxers. And that's what they do to disparage somebody's character so that you don't have to actually contend with their facts and ideas. And I think, like, when I was just thinking about this phenomenon and how months ago, like, I knew this was happening, like, why weren't they talking to a guy like this researcher? And like, oh, maybe it's just because it could be as simple as he wrote one thing that went against the way that they saw politics at the time. And they're like, we're not touching that guy. And that's how it works. You know, you get typecast as something that's either you're in our group or you're totally untouchable and we're never going to listen to anything that you say. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Which is completely counter to the idea of research and journalism, right? I mean, you're choosing to omit these things. Now, I honestly think my opinion of why they would not talk to this guy is because what I think this data really shows. Now, the mainstream New York Times is basically arguing is that specifically, well, both of them are wrong, but that the Democrats are far more wrong. And that's how even Bill Maher framed it. But you know what this really shows me when you actually understand it? For people that haven't seen this graph, what it's showing you, it says, what are the chances somebody with COVID must be hospitalized? And the correct answer is 1% to 5%. I bet you nobody genuinely knows that, because that's way lower than we're manipulated to think it is. Now, only 10% of Democrats got that answer right. 26% of Republicans got it right. 20% of independent, which, by the way, I still consider within the two-party illusion. They're not asking me as an independent. They're asking the people that, you know, sometimes vote Democrat, sometimes vote Republican. That's what independent means in these polls. But in any case, the argument is, well, Democrats were by far the most incorrect. But here's the real takeaway. Look at from 20 to 49% combined with 50%. the vast majority of anyone lost in the two-party paradigm is catastrophically wrong about what's really happening. Mm-hmm. That's the takeaway, right? So if you're listening to the mainstream media, if you're listening to anybody within the two-party paradigm, for whatever reason, you're
going
to
be
catastrophically misled, right?
That's right.
So apparent to me. What are your thoughts on that?
It's not surprising because most of them just have no idea what they're talking about. It's funny. I was just talking the other day on my channel about Lester Holt. So I don't know if you saw that YouTube sponsored an award that it won for free speech, which is hilarious.
Stupid.
And so, you know, and Lester Holt was the MC of these free expression awards where YouTube won its free expression award. And Nancy Pelosi and Amy Klobuchar and Chuck Schumer are on the, you know, the host committee basically. And Klobuchar is like one of the main people who's been writing letters asking these tech companies to lock down on misinformation. So it was a very weird phenomenon, but Lester just gave this speech. You know, I got to meet him in Rio when I was covering the Olympics, really nice guy. But he gave this speech recently when he won this Lifetime Achievement Award, a Muro Lifetime Achievement Award, about how, you know, we really should not be allowing these, you know, our newsrooms to push misinformation, and we really need to make sure that we're not giving equal weight to different sides that we know are false. Like, two sides are not always equal, or even if there's more sides, you know, we need to be sifting it through for the public. We shouldn't be allowing just people to come spew on lies, which, you know, in theory, I guess, like most, you know, you would say, oh, well, yeah, you know, you shouldn't be pushing propaganda. Like, you and I would agree. We would love for them to stop pushing propaganda, right? But the reality is they do not know what they're talking about. That's the problem. So it's like, in theory, yeah, the idea of like sifting through the garbage and holding the government account, like that's what we're supposed to be doing. I get it. And he thinks, like he's saying what, you know, okay, that's what a lot of mainstream journalists believe. Yeah, of course, that's what my boss believed by saying you're not allowed to pitch stories that had to do with, you know, vaccine skepticism. You're just not even allowed to pitch those stories, or doctors that would question them. And that's, they think that's what they're doing, that they're locking down misinformation. But the problem is they don't know what they're talking about. So they're not locking down misinformation. They're spreading it simply because they are so ignorant of what's going on. And so few of them, I think, even will acknowledge that. They'll tell you in one hand, oh yes, I have, even these are like the best meeting ones. I have no time to do my job. I'm racing around like a chicken with my head cut off. I don't have the resources. I don't have that, you know, I have to have something done, like three things done by 4:00. I just got my story idea 2 hours ago. I have to drive to all these interviews. I got to edit and shoot everything by myself. I mean, I had to do all of the technical sides. I didn't work with a photographer or an editor. I did it all myself. So how do you read documents? How do you make phone calls? How do you dig into the information? Like it's literally impossible. So they'll tell you that, but then they'll be like, oh, but what I'm putting on the news is accurate. It's like, okay, how do those two things jive? Like this is, and I'm not talking about the people who are the ones we've discussed, which is like, they refuse to read. These are the people who want to, like, I considered myself one of those people. I wanted to do all those things. And I literally didn't. And that's eventually also why I left, right? Cause I just got so frustrated. That was not good enough for me to just be like, well, I just don't have the time. So I'm just going to throw, you know, crap on a wall and hope something sticks. But a lot of people, I think they'll say those things. They'll recognize there are all these problems with the industry, and then they'll still defend the product to the death. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, guys, how do you think all of those things you just named, the money of the corporation, the consultants, the, you know, the training, all my friends are in trainings right now, all these managerial, like critical theory trainings, that they're all fixated on this stuff right now. Hmm. They're literally like being indoctrinated right now politically. And then they also don't have the time to do their jobs. It's so crazy, but then they'll still stand by the product. So there's some fuse that's not working, you know, yeah. It's just not going all the way to the end.
I'm going to speak to a couple things on that. One, I think the resource issue is important as you're saying, but make sure people hear this. That is an issue. That is I argue an intentional issue created by the outlets. Like I would argue, like you said, you couldn't really place that at the feet of the person who's not given the resources to do their job. Yeah. And I think it's done that way to make sure that they don't have the time to do anything but toe the line, right? That's what I would think right there.
Just make money. Yeah, make money.
And I wanted to make sure I wanted to comment on this. And I totally forgot. I agree with you across the board that the vast majority of these people are there because they don't understand. And that speaks to manufacturing consent, to like that Chomsky points out that they wouldn't be in that position if they didn't already hold specific beliefs, right? And that's how they cultivate that. But you had mentioned the Gates scenario. Make sure, my opinion, I find it almost impossible to believe someone like that, with the things that have taken place, are doing this with the mindset they're doing it for the right reasons. That's just my opinion, but I agree with you in general. The only reason I say that is because I look at these from a, like, if you are taking action, like, let's say, for instance, let's make this kind of fit with both of our discussion points. Let's mm-hmm. say Bill Gates thinks that he has to depopulate the world because we're all going to die, because he has some new insight if we don't get to a certain level. So he may rationalize right. that it's for the greater good, but at any time you're making choices that remove people's lives from them, or take their lives from them, or remove their freedoms from them for the guise of what you think is the best idea, they know that they're doing wrong. At the very least, they think it's for a greater good. That's the way I perceive that, because I don't know how you couldn't look at it that way. You know, I don't know. That's my take on it.
No, I can understand that. And I think people who are awake, it is very hard to look at that and see how anyone could not be aware of the stuff that you're talking about. I guess from sort of a meta perspective, I think in order to know evil, or even good, like, you need to know good. And if you don't know good, then you don't know evil. Like, they all kind of look the same. I it's hard to explain. Like, let me give you an example. This may not fit well, but when I started doing yoga 10 years ago, I noticed after about a year of it that if I didn't do yoga once a week, I do Bikram specifically, all the Bikram fans who watch your Rockfin channel. And it's a, you know, it's a set 26 poses that are really intense for your spine. And I do it, you know, I've done it once a week for 10 years. And now I can literally feel gravity's effect on my body. I can feel when I don't practice, but I never knew what it was like to be sick until I got healthy. I thought I was fine. And so I kind of wonder sometimes, like, if you don't know what health is, you don't really know what, and if you don't know what good is, you don't know what evil is. Like, you can't, I feel like it's almost a spiritual blindness. I don't really know any other way to understand it.
I get what you're saying. You know, I've always argued that in any individual, in humanity, I personally believe that every single person is brought into the world with the capacity for extreme good and extreme evil. I believe that. And I believe it's about choices that you make, and it's about how you lean into one side or the other, and about who influences around you in your life. I think that this is just, you know, choices. And yeah, we are preconditioned to certain things. But if you take someone like this, that, you know, one of the historically worst dictators or whatever, you know, I argue at certain levels, you know, like you're saying, like, that they don't even necessarily turn around and think that they're the worst person alive. They may be rationalizing all these choices that they made, but at the end of the day, they've made choices that they know are bad things that led to where they are, you know? So I think we're all capable of it. So I get what you're saying. You know, it's an interesting take on it. I'm sure people would disagree with all levels of different, you know, it's all theoretical, you know.
Oh, I get so much rage in my comment section when I don't go down that path, when I say what I just said. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing. You know, people just hate it when they're like, you're running interference. Or I'm like, I'm not, because I want you to understand, I actually think that is far more dangerous than what the others, like, when, with what you're saying, I feel like that can be dealt with. I think the person who lives in the moral illusion that their evil is in fact good, I think that person is more dangerous than what you're describing. So I'm not trying to run interference at all. I actually think that that's a worse situation, because you cannot reason with that person.
I agree. But to add to that, to the people that, like, first of all, it's so funny how people get so over the top about somebody's opinion. Like, by saying that, does that imply that you disagree that what they're doing is wrong? Clearly not. So I don't understand that. But, well, my point was that what you're saying, though, is that ultimately that person may not believe or understand that what they're doing is, you know, whatever, there's a different context there, but it ultimately leads back to some level where choices are being made, knowing that they're leading in this direction. Like, the average mainstream people may think they're just going along and doing the right thing, but that doesn't mean that there's not some level above that knows that, right?
So, oh yeah, no, yeah, that's. Yeah.
So when you're running interference, I mean, I don't see how. All you're pointing out is that these people are so ignorant that they don't realize they're being used. That's what you're basically saying.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. But I do question even the people who are aware of that they're pushing a particular campaign to elicit a particular result, which is propaganda.
Right.
I do question how those people are thinking. Really, I would like, I would do the research study. Some, anyone want to fund me? I would do the research study to figure out what is going on in their brains. Mm. You know that study, the Milgram study,
yeah,
where they had the people shot. So I don't know if you want to go into that, but that I think is something that's come up on my channel a couple of times, and I'm interested in learning more just about how people do participate in justifying, I guess, evil behavior and hurting one another. And I don't know, I'm not really sure I have an answer for it, but like, One example that I thought was really telling, I think got missed. So I don't know if you're familiar with, of course, this has been making kind of the rounds on, you know, more, I guess, conservative minded people, the Project Veritas CNN guy, Charlie mm-hmm. Chester, the technical director.
Right.
And so, you know, if your viewers are not familiar, this guy is a technical director at CNN and Project Veritas, which is, you know, I think there are probably different ways to describe them, but a lot, they're really going after CNN right now to kind of expose bias and propaganda there. And so they had this guy thought he was on a date, but really was a couple dates with one of their journalists. And he happened to say, which I think got missed by people, but was really telling. He said, in literally the same time frame, CNN is propaganda and I want to be a part of it. So because that was specifically about getting Trump out of office.
Right.
But what I thought was really interesting about that was that you had somebody who could both somehow in their mind hold the tension with, yes, it's propaganda and I want to participate in it. And I think that really shows a lot. It's like, they some of them actually get it. Like they do see, right, that it's like it is intentionally formulated narratives to elicit a result from the American public. But they also have figured out in their mind somehow that this is what they're supposed to be doing. And the New York Times back in 2016 told us what was happening. They wrote a whole article that was titled Trump is challenging our rules of objectivity or norms of objectivity or something like that. And they laid out their entire premise and really their strategy for how they were going to conduct themselves for the next 4 years. And they did exactly that. And what's even more hilarious is that like at the end of it, it says, now this may make Trump supporters more wary of the news and, you know, it may backfire on us, but we still have to do it anyway because it's the morally good thing to do. And what happened? It's like, exactly. So, and then like the next level conspiracy for me is like, maybe they meant for that. Like maybe this was even written out as propaganda about propaganda. Like, I don't even know where to end with all this stuff anymore, but it's like, why would they tell us their strategy? Right. Why are they telling us? Is it just because they're so ignorant and just like they're so, I guess, caught up in their own world, they don't even hear how it sounds anymore? Or is it because this was intentionally poised to get people riled up? I don't know. But that definitely was something that was out there years ago. Like, hey, sorry, guys, but we have to do propaganda now. It's just a different world. And I think COVID is the same way. It's just a different world. We have to do propaganda. It's for your own good and mine. You know, oh, it's my I'm just, you know, it's for my good and your good, guys. Let's all just be team players.
Right. This is what I call lying for your truth. Right. This is what I say a lot. And this is something I feel like I've coined. And the idea is that they, you know, they believe what they're doing. Like, they'll say Trump is the worst person alive. So if lying to remove the person that will save our lives is, you know, something that's acceptable. So they're willing to go out and be like, oh, well, you know, they'll share that story that they know is actually inaccurate because, well, they believe that it leads to the right truth, that Trump is the bad guy or that he is actually doing that, but this story is not accurate, but we know he's doing that. So we're going to say it anyway, you know, it's lying for their truth. And this is a common thread we're seeing. And to your other point, you shouldn't be, the crazy thing is we're led to believe that it's not okay to ask those type of questions. Mm-hmm. Was it intentional? Did they have a plan here more than just disinformation? Look where it's led. I firmly believe there's some level of an agenda to radicalize people like the QAnon MAGA group so they can be pointed to as the very domestic problem that justifies their policy. We saw this all across foreign policy. This the fact that we balk at saying things like that shows you how broken this is, because these are verifiable topics, you know. Mm-hmm. And I want to speak the idea about evil, or something, you know, the idea that there are people. I truly believe, and again, I said first is that I think they made choices that led to this point, and it was, you know, at some level. But I believe that there is fun people that are, I hate to use the word evil because I feel like it's subjective, but people that are bad, people that are doing bad things for bad reasons, that are in these positions for power and abusing that at the cost of people. And I truly believe that, but I don't believe that they're, you know, we're always just meant to be that person. Like, so you understand, like, but I do believe that we have a lot happening right now that there, I find it impossible to look at as anything other than consciously bad choices that are leading to bad things for their benefit, you know, and that's hard. To maybe wrap this up, since I know you have something coming up in a moment, what are your thoughts on something like, are you familiar with the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act?
No, I can look it up.
I can tell you. I recommend you do, because it's really important down the line. That this was, I believe, I don't want to misquote it, maybe 2016, but it was in the National Defense Authorization Act. I tend to mix up 2012 and 2016. One of them was the indefinite detention of Americans, because, you know, that good old freedom thing. And then this discussion of the modernization of the Smith-Mundt Act. The Smith-Mundt Act was designed to make it clear that it's illegal to use propaganda on American people by an American institution, right? So the government can't propagandize its people. They modernized that for freedom. And guess what they did? They allowed propaganda for Americans because national security. And that stands, right? So what I want people to understand, that most of my audience knows, is that that literally means that if the government taps CNN or Fox News and says, look, this is national security, we need you to run this line, they'll do it. So that means that story you just saw last night, whether COVID or not, could have been fake news. And that, in their mind, is legal, right? So what are your thoughts on that in general? And how do you see that playing a factor, you know?
I'm like, God, I got to do a video about that for my channel. That was my first thought. It's terrible. I guess I'm not surprised. I think I even learned this as an environmental reporter, which a lot of people may think is weird. But I think that was one of the places where I saw that I originally thought if you expose something as a journalist and then the government came in to respond to this, whatever, corporation dumping something in the water or whatever else it was, illegal programs, things like that, that they would like fix it somehow. I guess I don't know if I was just naive. Like they'd come in, they would slap a rule on something and then everything would be fine. And then I realized very quickly that the way the law is written or how it's enforced, all these things are done in a lot of ways that, you know, can just actually make the problem worse and can make it easier for the people who are in power to continue on with their, you know, way of doing things. That actually, like, a lot of things didn't necessarily get fixed at all. Sometimes it was worse. And so that's when I started looking at like the government as, you know, it's not, my husband jokes, cause he was in the military, like, we're the government, we're here to help, you know, because it was what they used to tell him. We're, you know, what's the worst they could do? He always goes, what's the worst they could do to me now? They shave my head and send me to Afghanistan. So that's kind of the way he looks at it. But, you know, I think I've just shifted in that regard and seen how intentional these, like we've talked about, there are levels of it, right? But they all kind of seem to run in the same power circles. And so they're like bots who all think the exact same way. And a lot of them, I don't know, like they may have gotten into it years ago thinking that they were doing something virtuous. I'm not quite sure. And then I don't know what happened along the way. But I'm not seeing how it worked as an environmental reporter and how like they would, you know, whether it was the rule itself or the way they would discuss it, the way they would prime that narrative, which I'd be like, well, that's not, you know, wait a second, hang on. I was the one who did the investigation and that's not exactly how it was going down. And that you can't trust, really, I guess my point is you can't necessarily just, if you're looking at an institution, please be skeptical. I guess that's like my main takeaway is that what you're saying, like that they're thinking that this is for your own good and that they're giving you all the information that you need to hear and the other stuff, like they're not giving it to you because it's just too dangerous for you. We're not really sure what you would do with it. It could make things harder. Like I've seen this happen behind the scenes and on a, you know, a small level. So I can only imagine when it gets to the federal government, right? Cause I was a local reporter. So I'm seeing all of this at like a state level. I think it's a really sad reality. Like it's not even sad isn't even the right word. It's so tyrannical in a lot of ways. It makes me sometimes like, I'll tell you this, like I have a practice now, like I have to turn my phone off sometimes with my friends because I need to regroup because they will, like I said earlier with that guy at CNN, they will see some of this stuff, but they are exactly what you're describing where they're like, we have to have it, just like they were beating the drums for the invasion in Iraq. And then that stuff will happen. And it's like, they just totally forget about it. Now, like a lot of my sort of neoliberal friends who would be the first people to be like, oh, where were the WMDs? Why did we go to Iraq? They'd be the first people to say that. But then they look at what's happening right now and they're like, yeah, but this time they're right. You know, this time the government's right. This time it's not propaganda. This time, and you're like, wait a second, guys, don't you remember what just happened? Like, why do we just forget these things? And so, like, it's just bottom line for anybody watching is please understand that a lot of these people don't necessarily know more than you. They may not know anywhere near more than what you know. It would be like, say you're walking into the grocery store and you just pick anybody. Like anybody in whatever aisle you're in, and you're like, what do you think about this? Tell me that person is likely to have more information than a mainstream news reporter about what you're talking about. Like they have such little knowledge about like I said earlier, there's the safe circle that everybody's in, and they can tell you all of the safe lines in that circle. But outside of it, just trust that you have the ability to seek out information and keep going down that path, and don't let people tell you that just because they're associated with some acceptable mainstream institution, whether it's the government or mainstream media or a university or whatever, that you somehow don't have the capacity that they do to figure out what's going on. Cause you do. And I think that's the main point I try to make, is that these people do not know what they're talking about.
I'm so glad you said that. And that's a good point to end on. I think that's exactly what people need to think, is that it's about your ability, like take it upon yourself. The most important tenets of freedom is self-responsibility. Take it upon yourself to go out there and do it for yourself and understand it for yourself. And then take a look at what they're saying. Take a look at what we're saying. Come to your own conclusions about it. I mean, that's just paramount today. What I think is funny is that Reagan, I believe it was Reagan, a while back said that famous line that, you know, what Americans are most afraid of is we're the government and we're here to help. It's funny how that has shifted. And the point was, over these years, what the government has done has intentionally shifted that, because they don't want you to be fearful. They want you to blindly trust, which leads to where we are now, because what you just described is that blind trust. Because, well, we got rid of those people that lied about Iraq, right? Except no, they're all the exact same people right behind the scenes in all these administrations and all of these, you know, intelligence agencies. I mean, it's all, they're everywhere. And so it's the same point, and yet they've chosen to blindly trust because they've been convinced the problem's over. It's sort of like what happened when 2016, where all these libertarian-minded, anti-establishment, two-party illusion people suddenly said, yay, we won. Trump was, he won, we did it, and put down their guard and fell right into QAnon and whatever else because they thought they achieved it. I argue it's the same thing in some level, at least to the people that we're talking about who may think they're trying to do the right thing. I believe they've taken the bait and they believe they're fine. That's to your point. They're some of the most uninformed people out there because they wrongly believe they're on the inner circle when really they're being fed the most clear propaganda. And I think it's interesting that the laws we're talking about, to finish on that, is that it's classic. Ron Paul, by the way, for those that haven't seen it, who's also just censored today on Twitter, on YouTube, I mean, his whole channel, of all people, Ron Paul, it's unbelievable. But he's constantly pointed this out throughout history, which is that most of the time with the government, because, you know, in his opinion, clearly they are not driving for what's best for the American people. They will pass laws that don't actually change what you're like. Let's say your point before, mm-hmm. you reach out to the government. Hey, look at what they're dumping in this lake. Instead of coming in and passing a law that makes that no longer possible, they come in and pass a law that's called no longer dumping in lakes law. But what it really does is allows them to do it to a certain degree.
So yeah.
Right into law, the ability to make it happen. And they go, look, problem solved. It's not illegal anymore. So there's no crime. That's what they do with the Patriot Act, with the War Powers Act, with everything. So
it's so interesting you bring that up. I have to tell you the story, because it was like the biggest investigation of my entire career, which may not say a lot because people that do national security stuff have, you know, doing way more important work. But I was a local environmental reporter, so everybody take it easy on me. I was investigating the state for this illegal bear hunting program. So what had happened was, in like the late 90s, Washington state voters passed a law that they didn't want hunters to be able to use bait or dogs to hunt bears. Now, you know, of course, people can debate whether they think that's good or bad. Obviously, you know, there are voters who voted against it and voters who voted for it, but the people who voted for it, they won. So this law went into action. Well, guess what happens behind the scene? The government creates their own little bear hunting program where they're allowed to do all of these things. And basically they're doing it in the name of, you know, I won't get into it, but you know, it's protecting trees, all whatever. And what it just ended up becoming was like this fraternity hunting club where if you knew the right people, you got primo access to the spring bears. You got to get out there and use your dogs. You got to go use bait and you were following the law, right? Because you were doing it with the government.
They privatized it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. And so, you know, what was funny was it pissed off even the hunters who were like, I should be able to use bait. I should be able to use dogs. Those people were pissed because they're like, wait a second, why don't I get to go hunt? You know, you guys, and then the you know, anti hounding and baiting people, they're like pissed because they're like, wait a second, we passed a law. And so then you see how these sides that normally would never get along. It's like, no, you guys are, you're the, on the outside, all of you, whether, you know, you think you're different, but you're really the same in that they're on the inside and you're on the outside. And they make it seem like you guys hate each other, but really they've just written their law, not for you and against you, but against all of you, you know? So that was a really telling moment for me that like, that's how it works over time. You know? Yeah, exactly what you said. It's illegal and we're going to, you know, the regulations kind of, you know, the way that it was, and this was, you know, this was something that people voted on. So it was written a way that people voted on, right? It wasn't written like they didn't just sort of pass their own thing. It was written by the activists. But that said, the way it was enforced and right, the way that the government then put the little loopholes in, the amendments to it. Well, we have to do it for this and we have to do it for that. And they do it quietly when no one's paying attention. Yep. And you don't have any journalists that are looking into it because everybody's sort of accepting the way things are until Allison gets this cryptic phone call from one of the wildlife officials who's the whistleblower. And you're like, what? So they just created their own little fraternity. And that like is a minor example. So now, you know, take that on scale and let's talk war, oil, all these things. Like, are you kidding me that if they're doing it with bears in Washington, that they're not doing it at the federal level with global politics, with oil, with regime changes, all of these things? Of course they are. And I just got to see it in my tiny little environment. It's definitely happening behind the scenes. So stay aware.
Yes. Thank you. And you know, and to end on that note, I think the important thing is that they want you to look at your neighbor or the other side of the aisle instead of recognizing, like you pointed out, that the government is screwing both sides under the guise that they're fighting for both of you. Right. All they need is for us to look at anywhere but them. Right. That's right. Right. And that's what it comes down to. And I think, you know, what you've walked us through today is it's important. Right. All of this stuff is stuff that people need to understand. More importantly, people that are still entertaining the honesty level of the ultimate narrative. You know, not that there's some people here or there that may be fighting for the right thing from within, but the top down, it is the, in my opinion, the direction is to misinform you very specifically. At the very least, omit the things that they don't want you to see. And I think that this is just, if we can recognize this is happening, and as you said, apply this logic to the larger picture into war and invasions that are costing hundreds of thousands of lives, entire countries, resources. I mean, it shows you, like we said, in my opinion, that there is a level of nefarious activity here that's been ongoing for quite a long time. And the only way it's going to stop is if we actually stop looking at each other and realize that it's the government, not the left, not the right, but the government.
Yeah. And always be skeptical. Like if you're watching something, especially in mainstream news, and you're immediately fired up and specifically at one kind of person, you're like, oh, I can't believe that's exactly when you need to be like, wait a second, you know, what am I not hearing here? Like how is this being formatted that's giving me, you know, information that I'm now reacting to really emotionally and I'm targeting a specific person with my emotions. Like that's exactly when you should be aware that there's something else going on here.
Absolutely. Well said. I think, you know, that's exactly the point that we need to, as we keep saying, question everything. So thank you for joining me today, Allison, and keep up the work. And I'm sure we'll connect more in the future. As always, everybody out there, question everything, come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.